Hey, this is Todd Herman, host of the Todd Herman Show. They call me the Emerald City Exile. The Department of Homeland Security is an illegal agency, and it has partnered illegally with tech platforms. It is 100% fact that they are using these platforms to perform censorship. Check out the Todd Herman Show every day on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm sorry, but we were very busy talking about what words we like.
We were. Mock's favorite word is spackle, everybody.
I do really love that word. I mean, tell me that's not the funnest word to say ever.
You know what else is a great? I personally like the word macaque. But she doesn't like it because it ends in ack. These are the things we talk about right before we get on with you guys. It's very
important. Show prep, you guys. Show prep.
Yes.
Professionals. Listen, everybody, I got an email from our streaming people. We use StreamYard. And so I got an email from them this morning saying, hey, a whole bunch of podcasts got shut down in progress by Facebook yesterday. You are not alone. So essentially, yay, we weren't being targeted this time. So hopefully our Facebook connection is solid today. It's supposed to be. And that whole problem should be resolved. So that's really, really good news. I have a treat for everybody today because I was going to remind everyone that there's a 50% off sale site-wide at omahasteaks.com. But I thought, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to show everybody what one of the caramel apple tartlets looks like.
So good.
They come in a box. I think they either four or six, or I think you can even get bigger boxes of them. But I know we keep talking about them. And my favorite thing about them is that I thought when I first started getting them that you had to put them in the oven and like bake them for a while. But then I found out you can just throw them in a microwave for like a minute, minute and a half. You guys, they come individually wrapped.
It changed your life.
It changed my life. And you can see like the little, what do they call those giant sugar crystals?
Yes.
Oh my God.
You're making me hungry. Like I'm Mike Homer Simpson with like the drool hanging out.
That's so freaking good. And I know it's not like a good breakfast food, like a healthy breakfast food.
Why not? Why is it not? There's apples in there.
I'm still going to eat it.
It's like fruit. You're eating fruit for breakfast. What? What's wrong with that?
That's a good point. That's a very, very good point.
Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, it is.
And I am. I'm going to have that for breakfast because exactly. It tastes like a breakfast food to me. So if you love caramel apple tartlets, or if you just love a great steak and potatoes, chicken and potatoes kind of dinner, and
pork
who
chops.
Doesn't, or pork chops, or dogs, brats, whatever, you can get all of those things 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com. And then you get 30 extra more dollars off when you use code CHICKS at the checkout.
CHICKS, do it. And you guys, also, if you haven't checked out our insiders on Facebook, our Facebook groups, our Facebook insiders, and our locals groups, you should do that because they're awesome people. Those are your people. They are your
for
people.
Real.
If you haven't found them, go there.
Amy Ooh. Says she gets boned for breakfast now and then lunch. You know what? I'm going to get myself boned right now.
You really?
I haven't got myself boned yet. And
you
I need
really should.
Boning.
You should. It's good times.
Boning. Bonefrogcoffee.com, you guys.
Good times, Amy.
Okay, so there's a lot to get to today. There was that, what was even the thing yesterday? Adam Sorkin or what's his name? Alan Sorkin? Sorkin. Aaron Sorkin.
He's the dude that, what Jesse Waters calls him, the crypto Fetterman is what he calls him. He's being honored. Somehow.
Well, that's SBF. I'm talking about the guy that led this whole thing that included Zelensky, Pence.
Oh yeah. It's like a business person's whatever. And for some reason, Zelensky's there. Like why?
Yeah.
I was listening
well,
to that.
He like, you know, he wasn't physically there. Most of them weren't.
Right.
But
he's a part of it. And I'm thinking, shouldn't he be like fighting a war? Like I feel like that's kind of weird.
He took a little time off to do this and to polish the Oscar that he was given by Sean Penn.
It's just sort of odd that he's taking time out to like hobnob with people at some sort of a dinner or something, whatever that was.
It's like a symposium of some sort.
But they always include chicken. You know what I mean? Like those things always have some sort of chicken. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong. And it's usually not Omaha Steaks, which is their mistake.
No, honestly. It's always like some floppy chicken. Always.
But just to remind everybody, if you have not been following the Sam Bankman-Fried story, he basically defrauded, you know, thousands of people for millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. He's currently hiding out at his $40 million Bahamian estate. And so I've got a couple clips that I wanted to share. The first one, I'm just going to share my screen because I want you to see the audience's reaction to his part of this symposium, right? So Aaron Sorkin, or whatever his name is, the interviewer, grills him on all the things, and we'll get to a couple of the more interesting tidbits of that. But at the end of this, okay, this is a guy who's probably a criminal, like a legit criminal. And here is how the audience responded to him. Let me just embiggen this so you can see.
On behalf of everybody here and on behalf of the public, I want to thank you for engaging in it at a time, in truth, when I know you've been advised not to. So thank you so very, very much. Thank you.
Yay.
Sam,
yay,
you.
I mean, what a hero, right? Why wouldn't they applaud him?
Yeah, it's like they're getting out in front of it and they're trying to put the narrative as, oh, no, it's fine. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. It's all good, you guys. Everything's fine. This is what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Because he's bankrolled so many Democrats.
Yeah.
He's bankrolled so many of these people that, of course, they're going to try to like paint the narrative as, oh, no, he's fine, you guys. He's great. He is.
It was just a mistake.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And when he was, I don't know if you have the audio of him, but when he was asked about whether or not he commingled funds. Do you have that?
I don't have that one. I don't have that clip specifically.
Because he's asked about it and he's like, I don't think I did that.
I don't mean to do anything bad.
I'm just the CEO, but I don't know what I was doing because I'm an idiot.
Oh my God. He, and you'll see what an idiot he is. It's unbelievable. GCQC says, I see you, Mock. The dogs are going down this weekend. LSU all the way. Okay. Okay.
And is it Callie Marie? She said, go LSU Tigers.
No. It's on. No, you, no. No.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
It is going to be on. Mm-hmm. Missy Jean Michelle.
You little scamp. Little scamp.
Thank you guys for those super stickers. Okay, so this first clip I have, Sorkin actually took questions. I don't know if it was in advance or if there were audience questions. I'm not sure how this worked, but yes, Sherry K, go dogs. he had a prepared like something to read to SBF about what he had done. And so this was an interesting moment because he does ask him directly, you know, to explain himself. Listen to this.
One of the letters I got, I want to read to you, Sam, because it's from a gentleman who said that he lost his life savings. And the subject line is, Sam Bankman-Fried stole $2 million from me. Says, Andrew, can you please ask SBF why he decided to steal my life savings and the $10 billion more from customers to give to his hedge fund, Alameda? Can you ask him why his hedge fund was leveraging long all of these S coins? I'm going to keep it polite for the kids. Please ask him if he thinks what happened was fraud. These are the kinds of letters that I've been getting repeatedly over the past several days. What do you tell this man?
Yeah. I mean, I'm deeply sorry about what happened.
Oh my God.
Okay. So I never all better.
And then the ticker, I never tried to commit fraud. I never tried to. Oh my God. I just can't with these people. And the people in the audience, you know, it's like, I think I saw somebody say, well, a lot of people are just sitting there silent. But then there were actual people who were clapping.
Oh, most
for this
of
guy.
The audience clapped. Most of them.
They're clapping. It's just, and he is sitting there all smug with a smile on his face. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, I can't believe he was even there. I can't believe he hasn't been brought back to be like put on trial.
And that is a perfect thing that you just said, because that's the next clip. I cut off the first part just so it wouldn't be too long, but they basically said, so you're in the Bahamas right now. Like, do you think maybe you should come back to the United States? Are you even able to come back? And he was like, well, I think I am. I mean, I don't know that I'm not.
I'm kind of busy having a sex party right now. I got to go back to that.
Right. Because he's part of a polycule, in case you hadn't heard.
I don't even know what that is. What's a polycule?
You shouldn't. Nobody should know what that is.
I don't want to know. Let's not. It's too early in the morning. I can't. I just can't.
Shelly says, Gig'em Aggies. Hi, Shelly. Thank you for the super sticker.
Gig'em Aggies.
There was a great, somebody tweeted, I thought this was so perfect. I retweeted this morning. Jennifer Say said, Elon Musk spent billions to bring free speech to Twitter. Advertisers are boycotting the platform. SBF stole billions. He's speaking on stage at the Dealbook Summit today. That make sense.
Exactly. It doesn't make sense. Well, but the only thing that I can tell you that will make sense for you is that he gave a crap ton of money and put a lot of these people like the Maxine Waters and people like that in office.
Yeah.
Like he paid for their campaigns. He helped them get back into office or into office. He bankrolled them. He gave them money. It's all about the money. It's all about the Benjamins, right? As Ilhan would say, it's all about the Benjamins. So, I mean, like he's responsible for, you know, paying for these people, which is why they're going to give him cover. And it's so obvious to anybody, right? Watching this. And it's like, we always say there's a different set of rules for the Democrats. He's a Democrat.
Yeah. Is it obvious though? Because if you look at the audience, they're just like seals.
Yeah. Yay, well, they're they obviously are Democrats.
God, it's ridiculous. Now, so the rest of this clip, so the first part that we just talked about is when Aaron said, you know, you're in the Bahamas right now. Do you think like maybe you should come back? And there was that exchange. And then he was asked directly, do you think that you're like in criminal trouble here? And this is what he said.
What concern are you about criminal liability at this point?
So I don't think that, I mean, obviously I don't personally think that I have, but I think the real answer is that's not, it sounds weird to say, but I think the real answer is that's not what I'm focusing on. There's going to be a time and a place for me to sort of think about myself and my own future, but I don't think this is it. Like right now, I mean, look, I've had a bad month. This has not been any fun for me, but that's not what matters here. Like, what matters here is the millions of customers. What matters here is all the stakeholders in FTX who got hurt and trying to do everything I can to help them out. And, you know, as long as that's the case, like, I don't think that, you know, what happens with me is the important part of that. And I don't think that's what it makes sense for me to be focusing on.
I mean, fair, right? Like he's got to sound at least somewhat contrite.
I guess the guy looks like a dirty Q-tip. Like I can't, I swear. Can you imagine trusting this guy? Like all the people, they should all just be ashamed of themselves for being such idiots to trust this idiot.
Yeah.
Honestly. I mean, I'm sorry for the people that lost their money. I am. But like you looked at this guy and thought he was some sort of brainchild. What's wrong with you?
They're the same people that like bought tickets to Fire Island or whatever. Yeah, and did you see that guy is back and he's trying to sell he's trying to get investors in a whole new thing. And there will be people that who are like, I'm going to trust Billy McFarland or whatever his name is.
I'm going to do your next Fire Island concert. Because of course you're going to get Jay-Z's going to be there, right? We're going. Beyonce. Woo! We're going. I mean, it's like, I want to feel sorry for all these people. And I
can't.
I can't. It's like, because look at him. He just rolled out of a frat house. And I don't even know, like, what frat that is. Because it's like, I don't know. I worry about this guy. You know what I mean? Well, he is literally, like Jesse Waters says, he is like the crypto Fetterman. He's not all there, you know? And they're
let's put him on the cover of Forbes. Right.
Let me give you all my money to invest. Oh my God.
I know. Unbelievable. Yeah. Before we get to Joe Biden, because we have to, I have to tell you about this email that we just got from Christy Somsel. She is in mid-Michigan and she put that in parentheses, i.e. casserole land.
It's casserole. It's a corn casserole. I love
it. She said, I love this email so much. So she says, hey, chicks, I've been a follower for years and love listening to you every morning. Thank you for brightening my day with your witty down-to-earth common sense on all the things. I love all things MyPillow. Thank you for sharing it. The sheets, the towels, amazing. I almost want to get a dog just to get one of their puppy beds. My daughter is in pharmacy school and wanted another brand's slippers. And I said, hold the phone. I'll get you something better. I explained to her about the squeezy kitten fur technology.
That's right. It's right.
And she did the Gen Z eye roll, but obliged me and took them with her back to school. Now they're her favorite thing to wear to class with the rubber sole. And she sent a picture of like,
oh my gosh,
this gal's like with her feet up on a desk.
I love it.
Thank you for all you do. You're like my entertaining, slightly older sisters. And I'm grateful for all the common sense that you bestow. And by the way, because the picture that she sent was from a text exchange that she was having with her daughter. And so her daughter sent the picture and said something like, I love the slippers. And so Christy wrote back, it's the squeezy kitten fur technology. And I just love everything about that. Oh my that God,
I love that.
So much.
God, I love it.
Do Sorry. We just get a flap?
I was just going to say, I didn't want to interrupt you, but he just flapped so hard. He flapped at that. I think he heard kitten fur technology and he was like, oh, hell no. And then he flapped.
Oh my God, I love that. That was the best flap. Just to cap off this MyPillow story, you guys, don't forget that they have a huge sale on their 6-piece towel sets right now. Normally they're almost $90, but they're only $39.98 right now when you use code CHICKS. Stock the F up.
Do it. You have to stock up. And then I have to tell you guys something about Rumble. Okay. So, Cash, you're in my way. Okay. It is not time. It's not time to flap. I know you haven't flapped around.
He's like, I owe you guys so many flaps.
He's like, hey, everybody, I have to say hi now. Stop. Okay. God, there's slobber all over my. There's seriously so much slobber. Like, can you see it? Can you see the slobber? It's gross, you guys. Okay. So anyways, there's this thing on Rumble where if you go there, you're visiting, you're on Rumble. If you're watching us on Rumble right now, there is a red join button.
Do you see it?
If you see it, click that and you will become a member of our locals page. You don't have to become a supporter, but you will become a member of our locals page, which is kind of cool. Why would you not want to do that?
So why would you not? Also, you can become a supporter if you want.
You can.
We highly recommend it.
You totally should. Because then you'll be like one of the crew. So do that.
Yeah, thank you, Pamela. Pamela sent a super sticker and said, I'm not sorry for them. It's money laundering, plain and simple. She's absolutely right.
I mean,
there's some people who probably just got caught up through a third party in all of this stuff, perhaps. And I do feel sorry for them.
I do too.
Main investors and people who just have decided to throw all their money into crypto, knowing the risks.
That's who I meant. And the people who were like all behind him. And that's who I meant. That's who I meant.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. We got to get to this Biden clip. So I don't know. He must've been like visiting. I think he's talking about spending a whole bunch of money on helping Native American coastal communities. He's going to send all of our tax money to make sure that they can move their homes and buildings away from coastal areas. So congrats, taxpayers. You're going to help pay for that. And it's so weird because like Biden has a home on the coast, but the Obamas have a home on the coast. If they were this worried about climate change, you would think that they would not be on the coast, but whatever. That's a whole other discussion.
Exactly.
But there was a joke, I guess, that Biden tried to make about Jill being super, super fascinated with Native American stuff, I guess, and particularly the Navajo Nation. Here is what he said.
I'm in the second school. And revitalized the use of the Cherokee language. By the way, she spent a lot of time on other reservations, other nations as well. I'm worried she's not going to come home one of these days when she goes. You think I'm joking. I'm telling you. I hear more about the Navajos than I hear about me. You all think I'm kidding, don't you?
He always thinks everybody thinks he's kidding. Always. Every single speech he gives, y'all think I'm kidding. No, I'm being serious. No, I really mean it. Or no,
my favorite is look. where are we looking? Where are we supposed to look? Yeah.
Why?
And he's also insinuating that his wife is sleeping around in the Navajo reservation, which is not appropriate at all. Like, who wants to wants their husband to say that? You know,
he's just so
it's not.
Oh my God,
he's not appropriate.
He's just so him, right?
Right.
Okay. My name today is in honor of the great Martha McCallum, who I love her. You got, I have a bit of a crush.
Yeah, she's a badass. She's a total badass.
She is amazing. So she had John Kirby on her show yesterday, specifically to talk about the White House administration's weak ass, tepid response to how China is enslaving its citizens, essentially restricting their movement, locking them down, sealing them up in buildings, causing people to die because they can't get out of burning buildings. They're like spraying chemicals from drones. It's freaking crazy over there. And on top of all that, Apple decided to cut off communications via the AirDrop function for the citizens of China. And it is maddening that they would be in any way helping the Communist Party do anything to prevent citizens from protesting and getting together and communicating with one another. So Martha was asking John Kirby about the response to Apple, the White House's response to Apple. And she gets him so good because he tries to use the excuse that Apple is a private company. And so she's like, now do Twitter. And right. It was a really long conversation. It went back and forth for a long time. I pulled part of it because I wanted you guys to see what good journalism actually looks like. And I just love her face where she's looking at him like, you're a freaking liar. Like, she's looking at him like he's a total liar. And I just love it. I love every moment of this.
And we've been clear about this all around the world. We want the individual citizens, no matter what government they live under, to be able to communicate freely and openly, transparently and reliably. And we've made that clear with respect to Iran, and we certainly continue to make that clear here with respect
but
to
have
China.
You made that
now,
clear
look,
to Apple?
Apple's a private company, Martha. They have to make decisions, and they have to speak for those decisions. But here at the White House, here in the administration, we want to see that individual citizens, whether they're protesting or not, but in this case, I know that's the context we're talking about, are able to communicate freely and openly.
But why not say something to Apple? Because we were just told the other day that the White House is keeping an eye on Elon Musk and Twitter. So why would you say that from the podium? You didn't say it, but Karine Jean-Pierre said it, and not call Apple out for helping the Chinese government to suppress their own people's ability to communicate.
Again, I think we've been very clear and consistent on this. Certainly publicly, we've been very open about our desires to be able to see citizens communicate. And you know, Apple, if this is a decision that they're making, then they should have to speak to that. But we aren't in the business of telling private companies how to execute their initiatives.
Yeah, but Twitter's a private company too. So why is Twitter getting one treatment and Apple's getting another? Is my question.
Well, these are completely two different circumstances. You're talking about the potential. Well, you're talking about the potential for perhaps foreign investment and involvement in the management of Twitter. That's a different issue than what we're talking about here, which is a business decision by Apple with respect to how one of their applications is being utilized.
Certainly, they're getting influenced by a foreign government, and that government is China. And Apple's policies, they've changed policies specifically for China when it comes to what they put on their phones.
Right.
I mean, that seems like something that the White House ought to be able to keep an eye on.
I certainly think that's a fair question to ask Apple and try to make them communicate why they did this.
But I'm asking, has the White House done that? Have you reached out to them as a matter of national security, since we obviously have national security concerns with China, who they seem to be aiding in this process?
Sure. I don't have any communications to speak to specifically with Apple executives. Again, it's a private company. They make these policies, and they should have to answer for that. What we want to see is that citizens are reliably able to communicate, whether it's a time of crisis or not.
Oh, my God. She spanked him.
I know. I love that.
I mean, she
clip.
Just literally, she was a cat with a mouse with him.
It was glorious. Glorious.
What a weak, weak man. A pathetic, weak man. That's in this administration. Like, he is literally running things. He is in charge of strategic communications. And he has no idea what he's doing. None. These people
also,
are
also, by the way, she is like 57 years old, you guys.
I know. She looks amazing, right? Oh, my God.
How?
Like, I know. Every time I see her, I'm like, how can I look like that?
Is it Jen you saw? I've got to ask her. Somehow we've got to find out.
We have to get her. We have to get her on the phone. We have to get her on our show. And we just need to ask her about all these things.
I would love to get her on our show. We need to make that happen. We're going to try to make that happen.
She's one of my favorites. She's one of my absolute favorites. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's fantastic.
She's just phenomenal.
Yeah. But that was that line of questioning. It's like
it was glorious.
And then he's talking about foreign interference on Twitter.
Right. Because there was a Saudi investor when Elon was paying the money to get Twitter. There was like a couple billion came from some Saudi investor. So now the White House is trying to pretend that Saudis are going to have influence over Elon Musk's decision making when it comes to Twitter content moderation.
Give me a break.
Meanwhile, Apple is literally helping China's Communist Party. So
yeah. Exactly.
It was extraordinary. And then, speaking of John Kirby, he was also on Fox and Friends yesterday, and Ainsley was asking about some report that came out about the Afghanistan withdrawal. Remember how botched that was? And so I just wanted people to listen to Brian Kilmeade in this. I don't think he may be on screen when he does this, but John, he totally scoffs. Like, he scoffs at John Kirby, and John Kirby, like, scolds him. And it's just, it's magical. Look.
Let's talk about the Defense Department's annual report, because it is saying that Biden's fumbled withdrawal from Afghanistan was a propaganda gift to China. Do you agree with that?
No, I do not. And I don't know that that's the Pentagon's assessment that it was a propaganda gift to China. If anything, nations like China and Russia took a look at what we did in Afghanistan. And we've talked about this many, many times over the last year and had to marvel at the speed, the efficiency, the effectiveness that a very small number of troops. Brian, you listen to me now. Hear me out. A small number of troops were able to move that many Afghans safely out of that country. No other nation in the world can do that.
Brian, you listen to me now, son, sonny boy. I mean, just you sit down.
Oh my God.
You listen. I wonder what happened after. Like, I wish I would have seen that whole clip, because Brian's probably like, you gotta be effing kidding me with this.
He fights with Kirby all the time, and it's just, it's the most delightful thing
and
to
you know
behold.
What? He's right. He's absolutely right. The American people didn't see it that way.
No, and of course China and Russia don't either. They laughed at that.
Of course they did. I mean, all of us and anybody with a critically thinking brain laughed at it. It was a joke.
Find a single person on the planet who says about the withdrawal, wow, that was remarkable how speedily they got people out.
Total success. It was an absolute success. I mean, it was a case study.
I'm not counting Karine Jean-Pierre. I'm not counting the people paid to say that.
No.
I'm counting, find me a person who actually believes that.
Right. It was a case study in how you should do things. It was a total success. I mean, absolutely.
Oh my God.
Give me a break. Like, we literally handed over all of those weapons. We gave all of those weapons to the Taliban. Oh yeah, that's exactly the way it should have gone.
Right. It was a masterfully executed withdrawal. Okay.
Not with these, like, how can he say that? How can he be in charge of strategic communications and say that out loud with a straight face and then go to bed at night and feel good about what he's doing? Like, as a job, like, be like, oh, I love my job. I did a great job. I feel good about this. Like, I'm going to retire one day and say, self, I did a great job for my country. You know what I mean? Like, how can
it's
he do that?
It's unreal. It's unreal.
Wow.
Switching gears. I have always known, I think anybody who's seen any clip of The View when Anna Navarro has been on it, everyone knows that she is a bitter old hag, right? I mean, I don't think that's news.
No.
But I did not realize that she was this sort of spiteful. I mean, I've always known she was miserable and bitter, but like, I didn't realize that there was like this level of spite. And so apparently one of the former Trump hotels in DC is now a Waldorf. I don't know the background. I don't know what that transaction looked like. I don't know if Trump, you know, just decided to sell it. I don't know what happened, but I can tell you right now that there is a hotel that used to be a Trump hotel that is now a Waldorf hotel. And Anna decided to make an Instagram post about this. And she is so bitchy in it, you guys. This is so juvenile that I had to share it.
Hey guys, guess where I am? I just went to the White House Christmas tree lighting, which was wonderful. But I'm now at the former Trump Hotel, currently Waldorf Hotel. Never came in here before, was not here for 4 years. But you know what? The witch is dead. He's out of here. He lost the hotel. And my ass is here.
Like, she voluntarily posted that. It wasn't like she texted to someone and then it was leaked. She posted that willingly.
God, she's proudly. she's a grown woman.
Right? And that's the thing.
Yikes. That is not a good look. Like, he lives rent-free in her head, you know?
Like, is she all right?
No. Like, these people, like, PDS is real. Like, it is real. That is a mental, it needs to be in that. What is it? The DSM? Isn't that what that is? The diagnostic, whatever manual, like that.
Statistical manual. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's a real disease. Like, it's a real mental problem these people have. Like, what is, wow. I just cannot.
Can you imagine being that
hateful? Being that just, hateful. Wow. I can't. I don't hate anybody that much that I would do that.
Yeah.
And I would make a video of it and then post it.
Right. Right. You know? Like, that's something I can see myself just texting to you. Like, if I want to, you know, because
if you hated somebody,
Lizzie and
that
I will
much.
Do this thing where if I need to be mean about somebody and I know it's mean,
right.
I will preface a text by saying, can I be mean? And she will always say, of course you can,
because we're best friends and this is what we do. And sometimes it's like, and that's the thing. It's like, we do that with each other, but I can't imagine, but honestly, like, I can't imagine hating somebody that much where we would ever do that, you know? It's
right.
Just not, she's got some issues. These people have issues, and it makes me worry, you know, for
it's
humanity.
Weird. It's not normal.
Right.
Not normal. Speaking of not normal, AOC, you may know her from such things as being batshit crazy. And she is engaged to a ginger soy boy, like the manliest manlet in manlet land.
Right.
Okay. What's his, Riley is his name.
Yeah.
And so apparently she's doing the thing now where she's, as an influencer, she is now incorporating her soon to be husband into her videos so that she can create some fame for him as well. And so she decided to have Riley give her Instagram audience a little lesson on how to talk about racism, how to be less racist. And so here for your enjoyment is Riley.
Riley, what has been helpful to you in combating racism?
I think it's helpful and important to talk to other white people about racism. And I think a lot of people, they don't want to be racist. They don't think that they're racist, but they also don't know some of the things that they believe or say are and can be racist. And I think one of the like effective ways is just to talk and kind of help teach them about why some of the things they believe or say or think are wrong, mm-hmm. not necessarily racist, but that they're wrong. And that'll sort of like chip away and, you know, contribute to some development in this area, but not necessarily take somebody from like being a racist mm-hmm. to not being a racist in one conversation.
And it's just always being open to learning about racist things that we may have said or done without judgment and defensiveness.
Okay, so I'm curious, is he straight?
I don't think so.
I mean, not that there's anything wrong with if she wants to
not
marry.
Not at all.
I'm not judging. Wait, listen, I'm not judging. If she wants to marry a gay man, that's fine. I'm just wondering if he's straight or gay. I don't know. I'm just curious. I'm just asking the question. I'm just asking it.
I mean, the radar, you know.
It went up a little.
Just it went up a little bit.
Went up
just a little bit.
When I heard him, and just his demeanor appears to be a little not straight. That's all.
My favorite thing about that, other than how just utterly ridiculous it was for him to lecture anybody about race, was that she clearly thinks that he's not smart because she, those weren't captions. Those weren't like closed captioning. Those were her translations. Those were her putting his words into words she thought were better than the way he actually said them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like she elevated, so she elevated his discourse.
Right. Because she didn't think he said it well enough.
She smarted it up. Yeah.
She smarted it up for him.
Yeah. And she's going to do that his whole freaking life. So get ready, yep. Riley, because your life's going to suck, dude.
No, I think he likes it. I think likes being led by her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Because remember that video of that Alex Stein guy who was like harassing her and trolling her on the steps when she was walking
and he didn't
like talking
her.
About her booty and he just did nothing.
He did nothing. Yeah. That's the first glimpse of Riley that we got. And we were like, oh, so he's not a real man. Okay.
Yeah.
He didn't stand up for her. He didn't do jack squat. And so we got a glimpse of this is who this person is, this individual. Because like, if you are going to marry a guy that if some guy is like harassing you out in public and he does nothing, I feel like that's a red flag. At least to me, it'd be a red flag to me. I'd be like, we're probably not going to be together if you're not going to say anything to this individual who is harassing me in public.
Yeah.
Where I'm going to go, bye.
But she likes it. There's a lot of weird feminists like her that love the soy boys, that love the soft men. I don't get it.
They control them because they can lead them around and control them and tell them what to do. And yeah, I like alpha dudes. I like dudes. Same. Yeah. Because we like dudes.
Right. There's like a reason to have gender differences and mm-hmm. they're beautiful differences. I don't know why we keep trying to erase them, but I like them. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, anyway. I like a guy who doesn't know what taupe is.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Also, we have to get to a couple of KJP clips with Peter Doocy just because Peter Doocy is so awesome. And so this first one, going back to the whole Twitter thing, because remember, the White House is saying they're keeping an eye on Twitter, right? This is their new phrase of the day, keeping an eye on Twitter. So Peter Doocy asked, I thought, a very reasonable question. Listen.
Subject. When are you guys going to delete the White House Twitter account?
Why would we do that?
Well, you're saying that you're keeping an eye on Twitter because it might not be a suitable platform. So why use it?
Look, I want to be very clear here. The president has always said, and he has been very, very clear in his belief that it is important of social media platforms to continue to take steps to reduce hate speech and misinformation. And we'll continue to say that. But media platforms make independent choices about their information that they present. And so, look, I don't have anything to share on any policy or any changes that we will be making. We have multiple platforms, as you know, that we utilize to communicate with the American people.
You know what? Now hate speech equals speech we don't agree with. That's mm-hmm. what it is now. And yeah. they have been over the past, what? I don't even know how many years, but many, many, many years. They've been living in an algorithmic bubble, these people. And so now the bubble has been burst. They are now living in reality. Whereas, you know, that's the place that the rest of us have been living.
Yeah.
You know, because they've had like the cloak of algorithm, you know, they've safety. And they've just been living in this bubble where everybody agrees with them on everything. And now they don't have that. And so now people are
but only on one platform.
Exactly. This is the thing. It's just on Twitter.
Yeah.
It's like, exactly. They've been in an echo chamber. And so now that chamber is gone and they cannot deal.
And
they think that now it's hate speech. It's not hate speech. People just disagree with you on things and they're calling you out and they're throwing memes at you, which are hilarious, I might add. And I actually like Twitter now. I kind of like it.
Yeah, it's great.
I hate it before. When they say that now it's like this place of hate and vitriol and just awfulness. And I'm thinking to myself, what did you think it was before?
I know.
It sucked before. It was awful before. I hated it before. It was like a cesspool of suck. I used to tell you that all the time. I hated going out there because people were awful. I would go out there and they yell at each other. It was awful. They say these terrible things. Usually it was directed at conservatives. And so I didn't spend a lot of time out there. I was just like, you know, I don't really like it. I don't like being berated all the time. Some people liked it. I just didn't. I could be berated every place else. Why would I go there? And now mm-hmm. I'm kind of like, well, this is kind of fun.
Yeah.
You know, because it's an equal playing field now.
Right.
And they don't like it.
They hate it. And the fear that they have of people's voices being heard, you know, there is a real similarity to what's happening in China. And you know, the whole Apple thing is just one more example. But the fact that China is locking down their citizens is really no different. I mean, it's physical, but it's no different than the United States locking down speech of conservatives. We're being locked down, and that's never okay. In any form that the government makes it happen. It's right. Not okay to be locked down in any way.
Amen.
And so there's some similarities there that are terrifying. Okay, mm-hmm. One more Peter Ducey and KJP thing. This one about the border. The answer to his question is so off the wall, freaking batshit. I had a meltdown on Twitter yesterday because I saw it on Twitter and I could not believe that there were not other reporters who freaking ripped her to shreds. That other reporters, I don't care if it's Peter Ducey or anybody else, if you ask a question and she dances around it and refuses to answer, everybody should push back. Everybody. Every reporter in the room should say, no, KJP. You don't get to move to another question until you actually answer this one. Go. And hold her to it. Because this was unbelievable how she danced. Look at this.
Thank you, Corrine. Kevin McCarthy says that he invited President Biden down to the border. How does the president RSVP? Well, we know the president's never been down to the border. The possible next speaker says that he wants him to go with him. So is he going to?
So look, he's been there. He's been to the border. And since he took office.
When did he go to the border?
Since he took office, the President Biden has been taking action to fix our immigration system and secure our border. And that's why on day one, he put forward an immigration reform, a piece of legislation to deal with what is currently happening at the border. But, you know, that we're not seeing that from Republicans. We're not seeing a willingness to work with us on fixing a situation that's been around for decades now. Instead, they're doing political stunts. That's what they want to do. That's how they want to take care of the situation. But in the meantime, you know, the president has secured record levels of funding for the Department of Homeland Security. We have over 23,000 agents working to secure the border. We've taken thousands of smugglers off the streets, and we're cutting down on asylum processing times. And a number of individuals arriving unlawfully from Northern Central America and Venezuela is coming down significantly because of the actions that the president has taken.
Oh, my God, you're such a liar.
And no one said when did he go to the border? Because she would have been forced to say back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. That's what her answer would have been if she was going to tell the truth.
It's total lies. Millions and millions and millions of people have just poured over our border illegally. Millions. Oh, and by the way, there's still a mandatory vaccination. Like, there's a mandate for vaccines in the military. And then meanwhile, we have people pouring across our border who are unvaccinated. So, somebody needs to ask her that. Somebody needs to, why don't people hold these jackass accountable? It drives me insane.
Where was the rest of the press corps? They speak? It just makes me crazy that they just sit there and they're like, okay, next question, I guess.
I know. No,
push back on her.
That's your job. I hate it. There's only one person in there. It drives me nuts. There's only one person in there and he's the only one. He gets like one question. It drives me nuts.
Yeah.
It's so unfair. I mean, it's like this, and then they turn around and they talk to us and they try to lecture us on democracy. And I'm like, you guys can just blow it straight out your, you know what? Because that's where democracy dies too. It's like, we get one question and then we get shot down, and that no one is holding these people accountable. No one. Talk about a dictatorship. It's crazy.
It's nuts. It is nuts. And they're all trained that way, right? Like every representative from the White House is trained to evade, to dance around, to not answer questions. There was another clip. This is the last one that we'll get to before WAC, where it's some White House rep. I've never seen him before, but he's on one of those like finance shows being asked about. And I love this question. Why should oil and gas companies invest in anything long term to help solve the high gas price issue and essentially help the Biden administration out with high gas prices? Why should they when the Biden administration is constantly threatening to shut them all down? And so, again, you're going to see how they respond to being questioned like that.
10 days ago, the president again said, President Biden, maybe you try to talk him out of it. I don't know. I don't know what you do when he says it. But when he says we're going to end drilling domestically, that causes the major oil producers to not want to invest long term. How can you give me, you say we like them, we want them to produce. Give me a number on how long. Do you want them to do it for 5 more years? For 10 more years, how long will we need these major oil producers to keep drilling? What does he mean we're going to end drilling? When?
Well, eventually we're going to be phasing out the use
what
of
is
oil.
Eventually? And that's just, so what's eventually? Because you're not going to want to invest any money in doing this if it's 2 or 3 years from now, or even 5 years almost.
So I don't think we're talking about 2, 3 years. We're talking about longer than that. And as you know well, the production in the United States, onshore production in the United States, is short cycle, relatively short cycle production. There can be investments, and recovery of those investments happens at a much shorter cycle than offshore.
Blah, blah, blah. I mean, like, they just won't answer the actual question. They won't do it. Mm-mm. It makes me insane.
Yeah, it is insane. And energy policy, all that kind of stuff. It's just, he's a total disaster. Biden is a total disaster.
And he's just like, well, it'll be longer than 2 to 3 years. How long?
Yeah.
How long?
No one will answer it. No one will hold them to it. No one answers anything. It's just like.
So frustrating.
It is
so
frustrating. It's totally frustrating.
Oh my gosh. I forgot that there are three different headlines that we need to just quickly mention. They're just like quick mentionables. First of all, DeSantis has a book coming out in February.
She's so excited about this, you guys. She thinks we're somehow going to get him on our show.
Well, I mean, won't he want to promote it?
I mean,
with
maybe.
Also smaller podcasts and not just Fox News?
Perhaps. We'll see.
Anyway, I'm crossing fingers on that. Mm-hmm. The other headline is that Congress does now have in its possession Trump's tax returns. So he lost that fight. And now the Democrat-led Congress has their hands on his tax returns. I have no idea what we're going to find out from them, but just know that there's probably going to be something coming out about that.
Okay, now do like Nancy Pelosi and everybody else. Can we do every single person in the Senate and Congress? Everybody. Can we do everybody? I want to see everybody's tax returns. Every single person. Everybody that serves. I want to see everybody. All of them.
I mean, why not? Mm-hmm. Why stop at Trump?
And I want to know what kind of stocks they invest in too, and how they make all their freaking millions and millions of dollars. I want to see everybody's. Mm-hmm. Put it all on the table. Let's see everything. Do it.
Own up. And then lastly, Bill Clinton has COVID. He posted that he is grateful for being vaccinated and boosted.
Wait, who has COVID? Who?
Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He has COVID. And by the way, they're now saying that we need boosters every 2 months.
Every 2 months. I wrote about that yesterday at chicksontheright.com. I have a lot to say about that because I spent like about 20 years in pharma. So you can read about that on chicksontheright.com. I was a little snarky. Every 2 months. Well, the Health and Human Services Secretary, he said that we need to do every 2 months. Kamala, the day before, said that we need it once a year. So you can tell there's some discrepancy there in the way that they push out the narrative. They don't know what the hell we need. So yeah, I wrote about that at chicksontheright.com. You guys should check that out.
The preparation that you can get for disasters with our friends at My Patriot Supply. You guys, if you go to preparewiththechicks.com, $250 off of every single 3-month emergency food kit that you buy. And now that everything is going to hell in a handbasket, pretty good time to get yourself stocked up on things that you might need in an emergency. There could be food shortages. This will help you be prepared for those. There could be any number of disasters. This will help you be prepared for those. And with $250 off each 3-month kit, you're really, really going to be in good shape if you get your whole entire family set up with an emergency food kit of their own. Plus banana chips. Hello. Why would you not want to have spare banana chips on hand? So,
I mean, eat them in preparation for preparing. You should take them out and just eat them now. Just to prepare for the preparing.
Right. That's I mean, you want to be prepared to prepare. Okay. Right. All right. It is time for some whack. What do you need me to share?
You can share. First, the whack today was going to be about the fact that they do like a some sort of a monkey festival in Thailand where they have like 3,000 macaques running around. And I was like, this is something that Mock would love. And it would be like my idea of like hell on earth. But then I decided, no, let's not do this because one of our writers sent us a thing on how there's is it a monastery? Is that where Buddhist monks live? A monastery? Is that what that
a
is?
Temple? Yeah.
A temple. Okay. A temple was shut down because the four monks that lived in this temple were all doing meth.
So instead of monkeys, you're just doing monks.
I'm doing monks. Right. So you can, you can show them the article that I sent you if you really want to show them that. But these monks, were like, they all tested positive for meth, you guys. Like, what is happening in Thailand? Apparently, they're riddled with drugs. Like, Thailand is a hotbed for drugs.
And in the monk community specifically, it follows a string of criminal scandals involving monks in Thailand.
So I didn't know this, but so they got rid of these four monks. They got rid of them and they have backup monks that come in. So they have these backup monks that come in so they can do whatever.
Are they macaques?
They're not the macaques. I don't know. I mean, they didn't allude to the fact they were backup. They were backup like monkey macaques, you know, monkey monk macaques. But they have these backup monks that come in and they do all the whatever ritual things that they do for people if they want. I don't know what Buddhists do. I don't know. But we may have some Buddhists in here that can tell us
they do. Is like meth, is that a thing that monks are getting into now? I didn't know.
Yeah. So they're totally strung out on meth, you guys. I didn't know that was a problem in the monk community, but it is
meth monks. So, it's a problem.
Anyways, that's whack. There you go. Okay, so Cash is gone. I don't know. He's
well. We got our flap.
You got
it was
your
like
flap.
A stealth flap.
It was like a mid-show flap, is what it was. But he just left the room. I think he left because they went off to school. Right. I think he's just out. He's protecting the house now, you guys. He's out protecting. So, you guys, I'm sorry you can't see my sunrise. I didn't lift the. I'll lift the shades tomorrow. You guys can see the sunrise. But everybody have the most fabulous day. Tomorrow's Friday, right?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, this week is flown. But we will talk to you guys tomorrow. Have a great day. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Hey, this is Todd Herman, host of The Todd Herman Show. You might have heard me on Rush Limbaugh's show or as a regular fill-in for about 8 years. God rest Rush. I now do a show out of the high mountains of free America because, you know, I got exiled from Seattle. The Department of Homeland Security is an illegal agency, and it has partnered illegally with tech platforms. It is 100% fact that they are using these platforms to perform censorship. It's not in question. They admit it. They even admit that it was illegal, but they keep doing it. Check out the Todd Herman Show every day on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.